flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I think what we've discovered during the last 2 hours is that more people hate the Eagles fans than they hate the Eagles organization. Is that fair?
Yeah, great organization. They do, like, that's the thing. Every draft season, I say to myself, Howie Roseman can't keep getting away with this.
Right.
And he does. Now, the Eagles fans, some of the lowest humans I've ever come across, but there are, you know, good portions, good swaths of the fan base.
But you would say a small portion of the fan base, right? You wouldn't say like Lou was like, oh, 100% every Eagles
fan.
No, not 100%. I don't think that's accurate. I don't even know if it's 50%.
I think Eagles fans just have more scumbags per capita than...
How about scumbags per square inch?
Sure. I like, that's more alliterative. I like it. But yeah, I think more scumbags per square inch in Philadelphia, and that's why it... That's why I think the hatred flows a little bit harder.
I wonder if you have to, in all my trips to Philadelphia, because, you know, I mean, obviously I'm going in a different role, with the exception of going to WrestleMania, which was purely as a fan, but again, very, very different event, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you have to be wearing Commanders, or I guess if you go to the Citizens Bank Park or Wells Fargo Center, Capitals gear, or what. I've never been as a fan to any sporting event in Philadelphia with the exception of WrestleMania. So I wonder, meaning, do they just harass, go after, just, I don't know, some 9-to-5 ham and egger that just is there with his son or his buddy that isn't all decked out in Commanders gear or Nationals gear or Capitals gear?
So I'm going to quote, because when we were talking about the Chief Z thing, I started looking up the article to find out when exactly that was. And basically, one of the quotes in this article is, if you show up at Veterans Stadium wearing non-Eagles colors, you're basically putting a sign on your back that says, hit me.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I never went to the Vet. I watched a lot of games on television, both Eagles and Phillies, from the Vet. That was I think that perception was very much earned.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a rabid environment. Lincoln Financial Field, I'm not saying that Eagles fans are perfect at little angels. I'm not saying that they're saints.
Slightly more buttoned up.
I think they're very passionate. I think they can be loud and proud. I think they can be obnoxious. I don't think they're the hoodlums that used to infiltrate veterans. It's so much so that you had to have a court and a jail in the damn stadium. And you had rats.
I think they still have those.
Yeah, well, probably. Well, you know what? The last time I was in Philly before last Sunday, in mid-November, I canvassed the entire bottom basement level of the stadium because they wouldn't let us in the media entry. So we had to go to the other side of the stadium where the Amazon TV trucks and all that stuff went. And it led me to, like, I was literally walking around the stadium with, like, dirt and sand and shovels and all sorts. And I swear to you, I thought a rat or a snake was going to jump out at me. I was so petrified. I was more petrified about that than I've ever been walking around the sports complex in Philadelphia or anywhere in Philadelphia. I was that petrified.
Well, folks, I guess we have it. Rooster is more scared of rats than Eagles fans.
All right, let's finish up on some phones, and then I want to get a couple of thoughts on Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Let's go to our guy John in Oklahoma. Johnny, I'm sorry. I hope your trip went okay. I know I'm sure it was still a good moment, but I'm sure it was disappointing to go all the way out there and to see your team get, disposed of.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know what happened, that's for sure. Will I boycott the Super Bowl? No. But will I watch Pull for Philly? No. Well, I'll pull for Kansas City and probably not neither. But I'll tell you one thing I learned. There's not words you can describe some Philly fans. It's a vocabulary, Webster Dictionary. If they think Redskins offensive, they got a bad, bad way of wanting what offensive is.
Wait. I'm having a hard time understanding. So you're saying they don't like Redskins?
They don't like people, period, in another color, the opposite jersey.
Okay, so you had a bad experience?
A bad experience? Listen, I've been to nightclubs that they call knife and gun clubs. You fight your way in, you shoot your way out. That place up there, it's Philadelphia for a reason.
Philadelphia.
I've never heard so many H-bombs, F-bombs in front of women in my life. They
so were,
no,
were you decked out in your Commander's gear or Washington gear? Okay. Were you engaging with them or were you just hearing it?
Yeah. If you don't hold your own with them, Chris, it gets worse. That's what they'll tell you after they 10 minutes of going at it with them. If you don't, that's when they start grabbing you, hitting you, and taking your stuff away from you.
If you don't pay attention to them, you mean?
Right. Right, you got to get right back with them because if you don't, you know, we liable to be missing from up there. I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
I had people walking up to me, asking me, can they walk with us? I have my grandson who's 19, my son-in-law who's 43, and we're dressed in Redskins uniform. You know, we're Redskins fans, man. We're not, you know. I had people coming up to me asking me, could they walk with me? You know, seeing we can handle ourselves. One thing they didn't know is I'm originally from Tennessee. We run to the fights. We don't run from them. We're
volunteers. Boy, Johnny.
We don't run.
But you didn't threaten anybody back or anything, right? You were just trying to mind your business.
Right. I didn't start nothing. I'm a finisher. I don't start it. I let our colors represent our colors.
You're a lover, not a fighter, man.
No, I never feel more alive than when I'm fighting. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you got to hold your own, man. You take it. They'll keep this. We got on the subway. We made it back to the subway, Chris. And these older gentlemen, you know, said, what are y'all getting off at? We said, we're getting off of City Hall. Motel was downtown. It was Warwick. Anyway, he said, oh, God, y'all got to take that off. Subway's packed with everybody's green everywhere. There's no Commander fans, Redskin fans around nowhere. Three of us, five of us, because these other two guys wanted to walk with us.
Yeah.
And they said, you got to take that stuff off. I said, I ain't taking nothing off. We got out. He showed me a picture of the phone of how they were already gathering at City Hall is when we got to get off that. And, you know, it was a riot. I mean, the thing is, I think 98% of their fans, they don't know how to win. I think the last time they won a championship before the Super Bowl in 2017 was 1964. So you don't know how to win, for one thing. And then when you do win, you don't know how to act. because you've lost so long. Well, look at it.
My guy, John, hey, in Oklahoma. All right, you said you're not boycotting the Super Bowl, right?
And no, I'll watch it. But, I mean, I would have pulled for Philly after the fans up there. I'm not pulling for them. I could care if they win another.
That makes sense. You know, thank you, pal.
I don't like Andy Reid in Kansas City neither. I don't like dynasties, but, you know. And, hey, as far as Paulie, hey, we got another one coming up that's going to break Brady records, too. And he's got burgundy and gold, and that's what my heroes wear. So I'll let you go.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate it. Philadelphia. All right. I don't know if I've heard that one before, but I probably have missed it. John sounded like he was feisty.
He's ready to get after it.
I mean, listen, I would say this. I, you know, even at the link, I've been heard. It's not always great to wear your opposite team's gear. Especially, I will also say this. I don't ever remember any reaction, sustainable reaction to anything that I tweeted or posted or said like what happened on Sunday and in the ensuing days. From Bobby Wagner's post-game quotes to me showing a video of Jaden Daniels and the Commanders getting booed pregame as Jaden Daniels went to go hug his mom to, what they were saying about the tush-push thing. There was a lot of Eagles fans that had a lot of time on their hands to respond to a lot to my social media stuff and coverage of the game. And again, I wasn't even really being in any way, shape, or form inflammatory, nor did I think the players were. They were just saying, hey, man, like we thought, you know, like Bobby Wagner kept saying, the Eagles were lined up offsides. Eagles lined up illegally. That, you know, man, did I see a lot of I don't ever remember that kind of reaction. And I would, like, of all the times that I've covered an Eagles, Commanders, Redskins, whatever game, of all the times, and there have been some big games, I never remember that kind of combativeness, vitriol, whatever. So maybe it's just because it was an NFC championship game, or maybe it's because, you know, now that Washington is back, wait for it. They're nervous. They're scared.
They're lashing out.
They're combative. They're feisty. We'll see. Let's get to Dontell in Frederick next up. What's up, Dontell? How are you?
Chris, what's going on, my man?
What's shaking, D?
Man, listen. We talking about these Philly fans. Man, these Philly fans are crazy. Now, I don't. It's not like you're trying to protect them for some odd reason. I don't know what it is.
No,
but
no.
Protect
the organization, yes. And point out that it's, you know, it's a slice of the fan base. It's not 100% of them. You would agree with me on that, right?
No, Chris, it's not 100%, but I'm going to tell you it's the vast majority.
Really?
It's not like it's 40%. It's like 90%.
Really?
You may find some people that's not that arrogant. Philly's crazy, dude. I mean, the vet is the only stadium that had a jail there. These people were crazy up there.
Understood.
Even the ushers are nasty.
Understood.
But
do you think that's the
Super Bowl,
do you think that's the now that's 20 years ago, right? Do you think that has translated?
Ain't nothing changed with them fans.
Yeah, see, I get
those fans boo Santa Claus.
I know, but all of that happened at the vet. I would give you that there was, that there were mega problems at the vet. But don't you think society has changed a little bit?
But what is?
I think people do most of their trash talking, most of their hating, most of their assaulting on Twitter, on social media. Yeah. I really do, because it's mostly legal.
Philly fans on a different level.
All right.
Philly fans on a different level.
Right. You boycotting the Super Bowl or no?
No, I'm not boycotting the Super Bowl because actually I want to see Patrick Mahomes make history.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this kid, the only thing I do like about Philly is their quarterback, because this kid's been unappreciated. I mean, by not just his fans, but fans all over. Because even when he was in college, they thought he wasn't good enough. So, I mean, Jalen Hurts is a baller, man. He can play, man. And, you know, he just, I don't know, when they put Tua in for him, they thought because Alabama won, it's because Hurts wasn't no good. That wasn't the situation. He went to Oklahoma, played well, came to Philly, played well. He's playing Hurt right now and still better than 80% of the quarterbacks.
Well, I would say this. He seems to be a big, big, big-time game player, right? Remember his performance in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago in a loss. And, yes, he had the fumble, Bolton, touchdown, whatever, that ultimately cost him the game. But he was huge on Sunday. Now, I don't know how banged up he was, and he is. But he'll drive you a little crazy. He'll be a little inconsistent, little bit of a roller coaster. I don't ideally want my quarterback to be that. But I don't think that's all on him either, number one. And number two, I would say this about Jalen Hurts. If you're looking, I mean, again, not every playoff game. Obviously, it wasn't very good in Tampa a year ago, but neither was the whole team on offense, defense, in any way. But I would say this, by and large, Jalen Hurts is a big-time, big-game player.
Agreed 100%.
Thank you, Dontell. Appreciate 100%. You. Thank you, pal. I appreciate you. Let's finish it up on the phones, and then I'm going to get to some other things on the other side. Kevin is in Virginia. Kevin, how are you?
Good, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it just because I'm a football fan. I'm sick of the Chiefs, and I don't like the Eagles. So I think the Chiefs get breaks. I think the Bills are screwed on that fourth down play. I think you made a first down.
Sure. Let me stop you there before you finish. When you say you're going to watch it because you're a football fan, can you watch a game without rooting for somebody? Because I can. I don't know if everybody can, but I can. Can you?
On this one, I can because I dislike both teams. But
that's fine.
Do I have to watch Taylor Swift every 10 minutes? It really gets old. Like, you know, when she comes in the stadium and when he gives a little heart to her from the field, it really gets old.
You know what this is, though? This is classic NFL. This is they care so much about ratings and the revenue that is associated with that and the eyeballs and the numbers. Last year, you saw a dramatic uptick in terms of ratings, right? It wasn't because so many people more were watching football because of the football or the athletes. It was because so many freaking Swifties were now watching football that weren't watching football before. So the numbers went up.
Yeah, it's
money.
NFL
only, they don't care about health. They don't care about the integrity of the game. They don't care about competition. They don't care what the media says. They don't care what fans think. They only care about eyeballs, ratings, and revenue. That's it.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
And Taylor Swift
interesting to
drives
see who's in the box with her.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I mean, usually it's Travis Kelce's mom, right? Usually she's right. Like, next to her.
It's also Jason Kelce's mom.
Yeah, and Jason Kelce's mom. Good point, Max. Thank you. That's why we pay the big bucks. What's the hot actress's name? Liv something or other? Liv Lively. I don't know her name. Anyway,
Blake Lively.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was in the booth on Sunday night. I was driving back from Philadelphia, wasn't paying attention to her. I don't know if she was, but she was there all the year last year. So who knows? I mean, I would just say this, you know, to me, the Super Bowl and really these big game events, and every sport does it, have become so much more about the show and entertaining the casual fan as opposed to what it sounds like me, you, maybe Max, and I don't want to speak for Max, but a lot of us that are diehard football fans that just want to watch a football game. That's it.
Right. Can I say one quick thing about the game on Sunday?
Yep.
We lost it in that sequence right before the half. That was
Jeremy McNichols.
The interference call against Dante Smith. That was the biggest play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The best play of the game was Luvu going off and trying to hit Hurts on the goal line because it sent a signal to them, you're not going to do this tush-push on us.
Yep.
you're going to risk.
And that was right after the Eckler fumble, which I really thought was kind of the end of the game, because they were driving at midfield, down 34-23, chance to cut it to one score. And they fumble, lose the ball. I still don't know where there was clear recovery, what have you. But to your point, that sequence before halftime between the 4th-and-5 conversion for the one, that set up the one score, between the Jeremy McNichols fumble on the kickoff return, between the hit out of bounds on Sainer still, which I still don't have a major problem with, but I know a lot of people do, between the non-defensive pass interference call on Lattimore, then the defensive pass interference call on Lattimore on the next play. All of that in that wild, turbulent sequence there, it didn't end the game, but man, was it instrumental. Boy, was it instrumental.
It was hard to recover from, though. Yeah, it took the wind out of their sails.
I agree. Yeah. Thank you, Kev. Appreciate you as always. Good to hear from you. 322, Team 980. We'll take a timeout. Then we will come back more on some Dan Quinn and some Adam Peters from Monday night that we haven't gotten a chance to get to. We will do it next on the Team 980.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 327, Team 980. Good to have you aboard with us. And the Odyssey app, always live and free there, anywhere. Also on demand, you can check out the podcast of today's show, of yesterday's show, of Monday's show, of last Friday's show, any hour, any time. Like Dan Quinn always says, anywhere, anytime, any place, whatever the logo, whatever the slogan is. I forget what they say. Speaking of Dan Quinn, you know, like there wasn't a lot of juicy nuggets that came out of Monday's evening's press conferences. Joint press conference, about 20 minutes, and I listened to it all, and, you know, there was some interesting stuff, like Adam Peters was asked about Cliff Kingsbury, and, you know, it turned out, obviously, listen, I didn't spend any time on that because this has been a non-thing. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury was not going anywhere. I mean, A, he's being paid handsomely by the Arizona Cardinals. B, by the Commanders, however that gets done, offset this, that, and the other thing. C, why would he go to New Orleans? I was a little bit worried about Dallas. A little bit, but not that worried. Why would he go to New Orleans? Terrible year-in, year-out cap situation. They've done an awful job managing the cap for an average football team. No quarterback. I'm sorry, Derek Carr is not... You know, okay.
Is it below average, but...
Yeah, I mean, average, below average, always hurt, always banged up, mm-hmm. always underachieving. Kamara is Kamara. And they got a bunch of wide receivers that can't stay healthy. Taysom Hill tears his ACL every other day. They got a feisty defense, but it's less feisty now without Marshawn Lattimore. Eh. Why would he go to... Like, as soon as Cliff Kingsbury said... A month ago, I'd like to be a head coach again someday. When the time is right, or however he said it.
Take a lot for me to leave this kid.
Yeah, but I immediately said that's a victory for the Commanders. As soon as he said that, I was absolutely convinced. I didn't know. I was absolutely convinced Cliff Kingsbury was not leaving. Now, maybe I jumped the shark a little bit. I don't know. Mm. So anyway, Adam Peters was asked about... They were asked about a number of things. The one thing that I took away from the press conference, and we're going to listen to a couple of clips on the other side. The one thing I took away, and it happened pretty much early on, okay? They were asked about how surprised on how quickly the team got to the point. And Adam Peters said, I think when we got in here, we had a shared vision, and DQ did an incredible job of really instilling that into our players and bringing our guys together and creating a true brotherhood. Now, that doesn't sound like anything juicy or salacious, but here's what you need to know. For this organization, they've not had this. They didn't have it with Jay and Bruce. They didn't have it with Mike and Bruce. Ron was the emperor, and Ron just had to fend off Dan, but Ron and Jason didn't exactly see eye to eye on a lot of things. I'll just leave it at that, right? The team, if they're being honest, and I believe these two men are being honest, I could be wrong, but I believe they're being honest. The team is finally united. We talk about a brotherhood. The brotherhood extends to the highest reaches of the football department. And that doesn't mean they're ever going to that doesn't mean they're going to agree on everything and never have a disagreement. But they hired two good, really good human beings. Two well-rooted, well-grounded human beings. Two human beings that use common sense. I'll say this. I don't know what the future brings. I'd be very surprised if over the next 2 or 3 years we hear anything about any sort of rift or major disagreement or major problem. I can't rule it out officially because people do change. People do get a little drunk on success, power, whatever. I continue to tell you, Kyle Shanahan had a big hand in putting these two together. People don't want to hear that. It's the truth. Dan Quinn admitted it to me on this show. Okay? Kyle Shanahan had a big part. So you can thank the Shanahan family if this continues to work out as it has. And so far, there's no reason to believe that there's any cracks in the armor, that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn think differently. As a matter of fact, and it's not just because they confirmed it, but as a matter of fact, all the evidence internally, externally, and I've asked, seems that they are even stronger together than they were a year ago at this time. And that's the most important thing that they said and confirmed and hit home on Monday, because they didn't give you a lot about what they're actually planning on doing. And that's probably because they kind of know, but they don't know. They kind of know, but they don't know. Final trending alert right here, right now, and then we will hear some sound on the other side, because we got to get to that right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I just tweeted this. Anthony Davis hurt in last night's Lakers game against the Sixers, is not going to play against the Wizards tomorrow night. But it looks like maybe, just maybe, LeBronny James will get some key critical moments. His head coach, a.k.a. his dad, want to make sure that, you know, like, for all the big wigs that'll be in attendance tomorrow night at Capital One Arena, including Craig Hoffman.
That's right.
Craig Hoffman's going to be doing the show from Capital One tomorrow night. I mean, probably Craig Hoffman, Barack Obama, maybe President, what's his name, the guy that's the president now.
I forget.
Maybe they'll all be at Capital One Arena, and we got to get our dose of LeBronny, who went 0 for 5 from 3 last night. Another thing that I was so right on, it's disgusting. I'm so smart. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? That's right, baby. It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest right here on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. That would be in March. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime, and take me along with you. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slam dunk. Good luck. All right. Max, you pulled a couple of cuts
yes.
that we wanted to highlight here. So I'm going to let you intro, and I'll just quickly react to them before we wrap up the show with Dum Dum of the Day, which you also found. So Max making a big-time contribution to the show. And you'll be back with us, what, on Friday, correct?
Yes, you'll see me on Friday.
All right, so we got a day in between that we have to wait as we kind of figure things out here on this show. In the first week post Matt Essig. All right, let's get cut number one here.
So this first cut, we already kind of talked about it a little bit, asking both of them if they're surprised about how everything came together. I think it's really important that just hearing like the full quote of it. So let's hear it.
Well, you know, I think when we got in here, we had a shared vision, and DQ did an incredible job of really instilling that into our players and bringing our guys together and creating a true brotherhood. And, you know, he said that, you know, when we started, the faster we can create that, the better we can be sooner. And I think he did an excellent job with that, and our guys did an excellent job buying into that and living that way. And so just really proud of how quickly that came together.
I thought that was probably the difference between...
Sorry, I had them both.
Like you've heard us say the word rebuild and recalibration. And we knew there were some excellent people here, and rebuild would have meant tear down. And that's not how we thought of this at all. And there were so many, you know, people that were here that like were absolutely all in. And so for us getting a chance to visit with, you know, somebody like Tress Way today, and to know how much he is in, like you feel it. And those are, you know, some of the emotions I have for it. And the recalibration meant like everybody's bounced, the needle bounces around a little bit, but we found it. And we found who we are and our identity. And like I said, the floor has risen, but like we're nowhere near where our ceiling's going to be. And that fires me up.
All right. So I jumped all over Dan Quinn there. I apologize, DQ. That's a really interesting cut. And that's the elongated version of what I kind of mentioned before the last break, right? So you just heard it from AP and DQ. The one thing that, you know, Adam Peters is a deferential guy, right? So he's saying DQ brought it together. He sold them on the vision, got them, all that stuff. Don't forget. When Adam Peters was introduced as the general manager about a year and 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, whatever, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a year and 2 weeks ago today. Don't forget, he was asked, hey, man, are you looking for an offensive play caller, genius whiz, whatever? And he didn't do this, but he laughed. He said, ha, 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 all you Ben Johnsonites, the hell with you.
The Grant Paulsons of the world.
The Grant Paulsons of the world, the Doubleman Twins of the world. I'm not looking for an offensive whiz kid. I'm looking for what? A leader of men. So he hired the best damn leader of men available. And how did it work? How did it work? And who told you first? Who told you first? Not to Barry Horowitz myself all the time, but baby, I was right. It worked out brilliantly. Who would you rather have, Dan Quinn or Boy Wonder Ben? Let's see how good Boy Wonder Ben is with that messy situation in Chicago. Let's figure that out. All right, Max, we got another one?
Yes. So this is Dan Quinn on, because, I mean, the rumor mill is starting to heat up. A lot of the coaching hiring has been done, but a lot of lower tier guys on the coaching staff are probably going to get snatched up. I think I saw David Blau is being interviewed by the New York Jets for a quarterback coaching position. So how prepared is this team to lose staff going forward?
Right, because as a staff, if you do well, then those are some of the things that take place from that. And we do have a deep crew, and that was part of the plan all along, that if those moments happen, we'll be ready to adjust. Not only do we develop the players here, Adam and I, we also want to develop coaches. And so, like, everybody in here, like, how do we get better? Where do we go? And so we dig in hard on those. As far as what is, just, you know, more speculation for us, but that is our plan of how we do things. We develop people here.
I love that. I don't want to lose David Blau. I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to hold anybody back either. By the way, Blau is does have a request, as Max mentioned, from according to Mike Garofolo, from the Jets, but also from the Bears for their passing game coordinator position. Now, Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall-El are in Chicago, so you know, certainly that makes some sense there. He's 29 years old. I don't know if he's going to be the next Sean McVay or anything like that. I mean, Sean was 23 when I met him and when he was involved in coaching. Blau, you know, just completed his first year of coaching. He is 29. He's still plenty young. He's well thought of, very smart, played the game, all of that. I wouldn't be surprised if Blau leaves. However, he may look at it and say, do I really want to be a passing game coordinator, even with Caleb Williams or whatever happens in New York, Aaron Rodgers or somebody else? Or do I want to stay here where I have my fingerprints on this offense? I have pretty much a sure thing in Jaden Daniels. And I could be a head coach a year from now. Now, yeah. He could maybe be a head coach if Caleb Williams takes off, if he goes to Chicago. If he goes to the Jets, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it's a young quarterback. Who knows? But you pretty much know that this quarterback, and you and David Blau knows more than anybody, or more, you know, more than we all know, what exactly he has, what exactly they have in Jaden Daniels. To me, unless it's a play-calling position, which I don't think any one of these would be, quarterback coach or passing game coordinator, I would stay here if I was David Blau. But I love what Dan Quinn said. We don't develop just players. We develop coaches. We develop people. When you buy into people, and when you're a good person, and you do the right thing, and you're responsible, and you show up on time, and when you're mature, and when you don't trash people behind their back, and when you do all the things that good people do, that experienced people do, that mature people do, that professional people do, you're going to win a lot more than you're going to lose. But you know what happens? When you have five, when you have Jaden Daniels, you're going to win a lot quicker and more than you're going to lose. All right, you got one more?
Yeah, I got one more. So this is going into season two of Adam Peters' tenure here. How prepared is he for more roster turnover?
Yeah, I think something that when we talked with a lot of the guys today really resonated with, I think, both of us, and that's you know, bringing in the right people and bringing in guys who we see as commanders. And so I think if we're going to take away a lesson, I think that would probably be the biggest one, is getting the guys that are commanders, that are competitors, that love ball, love each other, and will play for each other. And we had a bunch of those guys on this team, and they liked playing for each other, and they all said that today, and it was really a cool thing to hear, and so that's what we'll look for.
You know what's going to be interesting? When you're a free agent in the NFL, you've been in the league for 4 years, right? Or more, or at least 4 years. They don't have the files of these guys' personalities in the NFL. They can talk to maybe coaches that they know. They can talk to maybe players that they know. They can talk to executives that they know and get a sense, get a feel. But because you're not around those guys, the ones that have been in the league, and in order to be a free agent, unless you've been cut, obviously, you know, as a non-vested veteran, so they're largely reliant on secondhand knowledge. They're largely reliant on what file they had when they were scouting them in the college draft and with road scouts that were around those kids every day. But again, they've possibly changed. Money changes people. Success changes people. Status changes people. So what's going to be really, really interesting is whoever they bring in, flush with cash, right? And I don't expect them to go crazy. I expect them to be aggressive, but I don't expect them to go crazy. What's going to be really interesting is, can they tap into T. Higgins? Can they tap into, if they wanted to bring in a Stephon Diggs, can they tap into somebody like that and get the person evaluation along with the football evaluation right? Can they do that? And that's going to be a huge question throughout this offseason, because it's really tough to do. It's not as easy as people think. All right, we'll take a timeout. Good job, Max. Thank you for putting that together. Maybe we'll do a little bit more tomorrow, but we got some other things that we have to get to, including, coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. That's right. Wait till you hear this next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Coach Thompson used to end his show right here on the Team 980, then ESPN 980, with this great ditty. Oh, Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett for you, 5 o'clock somewhere. Indeed, we approach 4 o'clock, Craig Hoffman coming up next. But it's 5 o'clock somewhere makes you think of, what? Knocking back and having a cocktail. But you shouldn't do that when you're this. All right, Mad Max found this, so give him credit. People Magazine, Sunday, January 19th, Cocoa Beach, Florida. Again, the dumbest state in all the land. A woman, a 47-year-old woman, but not just a 47-year-old woman named Elizabeth Hill Brodigan. No. An elementary school principal was busted at her home, where a large party was taking place with lots of alcohol. It gets worse, believe it or not. Yes. 100 juveniles in matching t-shirts, many of whom consuming alcohol, were found to be present at the party. That's right, 47-year-old elementary school principal with 100 juveniles drinking in matching t-shirts at a party, and one was drinking so much that officers found a juvenile on the front lawn, quote, experiencing an alcohol-related medical event. The juvenile was so heavily intoxicated that the fire and rescue team had to respond to treat them, according to the police. And she's an elementary school principal in Cocoa Beach, Florida. She was seen by officers as they were tending to the juvenile in the driveway of her residence, turning off her outside lights and entering her residence. So they had to use auxiliary lighting to treat the medical induced, or alcohol, I should say, induced patient. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! An arrest warrant was obtained. She's charged with child neglect, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and holding an open house party for minors. Could you imagine? I can't. I know some really dumb people. That might top the list. Coming up next, Craig Hoffman. He's not dumb. He'll take you home on this Wednesday afternoon, leading you up to Maryland Terrapins basketball against Wisconsin, the Badgers, in College Park tonight. Make sure you listen to that right here on the Team 980. Great job, Adam Max, on the other side of the glass. See you tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.